This is a new voice for a new Scotland.
Right, here we go. Review of the week's news. Monday, the 13th of July. Michael Gove launches the UK ad campaign to get UK citizens and businesses ready for Brexit. A hard Brexit, as it turns out, it's going to be. Or a no deal, whatever way you want to call it. The campaign's only just launched, and in Scotland, the indie movement hijacked it. Well, they asked for it, they called it Let's Get Going, didn't they? So the indie movement was bound to hijack it. Also Monday, the Financial Times reports that as part of the Brexit power grab, Westminster will take the ability to award state aid from the Scottish and Welsh governments. State aid, as we know, is very important, and it's a power that's always been exercised by the Scottish government since devolution came in. It allows the devolved governments to step in and aid vital industries in the time of hardship and turbulence. The Scottish government has used these powers, as we all know, Prestwick, Byfab, Ferguson Marine. The removal of these powers from the Scottish Parliament could see Westminster undermine vital industries in Scotland. Also Monday, the Good Law Project launches legal proceedings against Westminster. The Westminster government over the bypassing of procurement laws and the misuse of public funds. The first of many cases to come involves Dominic Cummins' cronies getting awarded £840,000 to look at COVID. The money wasn't used to look at COVID, it was used in Brexit studies. So that will be the first case to get called by the Good Law Project in the Supreme Court. They're also wanting judicial reviews into other procurement scandals to do with PPE. So that's going to be worth watching as the weeks go on. It's going to be really worth watching. Monday, the review into Huawei participation in the building of the UK 5G network gets underway. As expected, Huawei will be banned, all right? Also Monday, Priti Patel set out the new points-based immigration system for after Brexit. In order to get into the UK on a visa after Brexit, you'll need to accumulate 70 points. To attain these 70 points, being able to speak English is a must, and a job offer is also helpful. There's also a wage threshold of £23,000 that you've got to pass, otherwise you're just not getting in. Okay. Once again, of course, it's been tailored in such a way that it won't benefit Scotland. It will be that it's not going to benefit the rest of the UK either, actually, this particular scheme, but it will be particularly hard on Scotland, who has got an ageing demographic, and we require a lot of young people to move here to keep our work base strong. Right. So there'll also be special visas for those coming to work in the NHS, which will do away with the wage cap. But it won't apply to health and social care workers, which is an absolute outrage, because there is a vast shortage of people in that industry. And, in the health and social care sector. But I suppose with Brexit and mass unemployment coming down the line, it might level itself out. Okay. Right, moving on to Tuesday, because we've got a lot to get through. The decision's taken to ban Huawei from the UK telecommunications network. And the telephone companies are no chuffed, especially BT, because BT has got a lot of Huawei technology embedded in its network, and they're going to have to take it all out again. And it's probably going to cost them £2 billion and take 7 years. So BT are not best chuffed, but Huawei will not be allowed to participate any further in the telecommunications networks in the UK. Tuesday. Scotland collectively fell out laughing. Absolutely. You could hear them laughing all the way in London as the decision's taken by Bojo and his clowns to introduce mandatory wearing of face masks in shops in England as of today, I believe. Right? And they'll be up to a £100 fine if you do not comply. Of course, there's a stooshy about it right away, because a picture pops up of Michael Gove walking out of a sandwich shop with a wee bag of sandwiches, no mask on them, right? So, they'd only just made the announcement and one of the reigning government ministers had broke it. That's typical, but hey. But the whole of Scotland fell out laughing, because the First Minister of Scotland was belittled when she suggested that wearing face masks could be a good idea. And then, of course, when the First Minister of Scotland made it mandatory, the papers went on a hoo-ha that she was being a Nazi and getting into the people with jackboots. All of a sudden, 10 days later, Westminster makes it mandatory to wear face masks and show up. See? What can you see? Tuesday, UK experts warn the Westminster government, Bojo the Clown and his mob, that if they don't change tack and prepare for a second wave, then up to 120,000 additional UK citizens could die over the winter period from COVID-19 and, of course, the flu. The expert group tells the UK government to get ready and get the money out to the NHSs to get them prepared for this potential second wave. I dare say they will be ignored by Westminster. It actually came up in Prime Minister's questions. We'll get to that in a minute. Turns out Bojo hadn't read the bloody report. Okay. Tuesday, the BBC did an article on the FM's options on border controls to try and prevent importation of COVID-19 from elsewhere in the UK. The report concluded that the border did exist and it had been there in its present form since 1237. The report also concluded that it wouldn't be viable for border controls to be put in place and that the First Minister would probably be best introducing a quarantine system if she had to introduce anything at all to help protect the people of Scotland. What's interesting about that is, as I said, this is biased reporting. The Westminster government claims to be the government of the whole of the UK. A government's primary duty, its first duty, is to keep its citizens safe. So if the UK government was supposed to be the government of all of the UK, then the UK government would have been telling the people of England to sit and stay until they got this under control. But instead, the First Minister is being attacked by the propaganda machine, the BBC, for trying to protect the people of Scotland, when actually they should have been protecting, should have been attacking the Westminster government for not telling the people of England to sit and stay. After all, Wales, Northern Ireland and Scotland have suppressed this virus really well. The problem is in England. So the Westminster government and the biased media out there should be getting battered into the Westminster government to get the people of England to sit and stay to protect the other citizens of this so-called disunited kingdom. It just shows you where their priorities lie. They're not interested in protecting the people of Scotland or Northern Ireland and Wales. And they're only interested in attacking the governments of Scotland, Northern Ireland and Wales if they take measures to protect their own peoples. When actually, the Westminster government's primary duty is to protect all of the citizens of the UK. It was just a propaganda piece. The actual truth here is that the Westminster government is reneging on its primary duty as the government of the United Kingdom to protect the member states of that union. Its primary duty is to protect the people. It's not protecting the peoples of Scotland, Northern Ireland or Wales from the dangers of reinfection from England. Okay. On Tuesday, a poll's done by Panelbase on behalf of Business for Scotland. And the poll finds that when don't knows are removed, 49% of the people of England want independence from Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. What's interesting about the polls that are being conducted by Business for Scotland and they're doing them UK-wide is 49% of people in England want to terminate the union. 54% of people in Scotland want to terminate the union. 49% of the people in Northern Ireland want to terminate the union. And 36% of the people in Wales want to terminate the union. Maybe it's time this union was put to death. And then the four nations could get together and come up with something viable that works for everybody. All right. Also Tuesday, The Independent ran a piece on Tory activists cutting up their membership cards. Now, Why would Tory activists be cutting up their membership cards? Would it have been 130,000-odd people that have died due to the rollout of universal credit? Nope. Would it have been the atrocious death toll in England for coronavirus and the chaotic handling of the pandemic in England? Nope. What was it that made them want to tear up their membership cards, or cut up their membership cards? Having to wear face masks when they go down to the show. Never mind the bloodshed and the deaths via the incompetent Tory government that's been in situation for the last 10 years, and the amount of people who have died because of their austerity policies and their benefit policies. No, that's fine. The bloodshed's fine for Tory members. Having to put a face mask on for 5 minutes when you get into the show, that's no fine. That's got them cutting up their memberships. Hey, Tories, what can you say about Tories? Hey, what do you make of that? Huh? Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Also, Tuesday, Rishi Sunak to launch probe into how capital gains tax is levied. It's muted that it's being done to ensure the tax is fair. But actually, tax experts are saying it's being done because he needs to find 322 billion quid to plug the black hole in the UK's finances due to COVID-19. So basically, the Chancellor's looking at ways to raise revenues, and capital gains tax seems to be one of the areas he's going into, right? And finally, on Tuesday, SNP launched bid to get the UK government to accept the EU's offer to extend Brexit negotiations into the middle of next year in light of the coronavirus pandemic. The Tory Westminster government rejects the call from the Scottish government. There's no surprise there. They're hell-bent on a hard Brexit on the 31st of December so that the likes of Jacob Rees-Mogg, the hedge funds and all those betting against the UK economy can make a killing. When you think about that, you've got a Westminster government in place who is deliberately sabotaging the economy so that they and their cronies can make money. So, when you're running about in a couple of years' time with holes in your shoes and they bahookie in your breeks, Jacob Rees-Mogg and all them will be sitting with big fat bank accounts. In fact, I believe Mogg stands to make 9 billion quid. His hedge fund stands to make 9 billion quid when the government that he's part of crashes the UK economy deliberately so that they can make money. Moving on to Wednesday, okay? Wednesday, the 15th of July. Scotland goes 7 days without a COVID-19 fatality. The FM announces in her daily briefing. Also Wednesday, further easing of the lockdowns happen, with the opening up of leisure and tourism and the reopening of bars and hairdressers, right? Also on Wednesday, Indy Truck Dairy gets a haircut and gets brownie points because he gets his wife booked into the hairdresser. Moving on. Also on Wednesday, at the Prime Minister's Questions, Bojo gets another doing by Starmer. He gets turned over by Starmer again. Starmer went on job losses and unscrupulous bosses laying off their employees and taking them on again on lesser contracts, on lesser terms and conditions. All right. He also has a go at Bojo, where the test and trace system down there not working properly. And he also mentions the report from the Academy of Medical Sciences, which states that 120,000 more people could die of COVID-19 in the UK over the winter unless Bojo gets the NHS whipped into shape and gives them the money they need to prepare for a second wave. Right, and Starmer finishes his session with Gene Bojo a tanking. We saying that the families of those that are suing the government because their relatives have died in care homes are watching, and has Bojo learnt the lessons. Bojo, well, we'll get to that in a minute. Ian Blackford went on the UK's power grab on devolution. Bojo never gave an answer to Starmer or Blackford. Bojo threw a temper tantrum. He battered the dispatch box blamed Starmer for Danish job in opposition, shouted down Blackford, because, well, let's face it, shouting down Blackford's what Tories do. As far as they're concerned, the Scots are a subspecies to be beaten into submission. But anyway, Bojo throws a temper tantrum and tells Starmer, you're bringing the country down. You're bringing the country down. Get on side, get on side. It was like watching a bloody toddler. Unbelievable. So neither Mr. Blackford or Sir Keir Starmer got anything coherent for Bojo. But what the rest of us got was a view of a 50-something year old man throwing a temper tantrum like a bloody 2-year old. We're in the middle of an emergency, a pandemic, and we've got a 2-year old running the country of England and running the Union of the United Kingdom. An absolute disgrace. Wednesday was opposition day debate in Westminster. Labour and the Liberal Democrats didn't bother to show up. They didn't bother to show up, right? So it gave the flair to the SNP, and the SNP went on the power grab and the removal of state aid from the devolved parliaments. What ensued was a 2-hour right-wing fascist racist attack on the Scottish MPs and on the Scottish nation. It was a disgrace. But at the end of it, I have to say, Mr. Pete Wishart had great fun summing it up. And Pete Wishart made it quite clear that the people of Scotland were watching, and that the SNP were going to cut and paste all these racist attacks and a fascist attacks on the Scottish people into a nice big video and put it out for the whole of Scotland to see. Mr. Wishart had a big jolly smile on his face and was laughing at the baying hounds across the hall, across the debating chamber, because he was just giving it, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up, because you'll become the best recruiting sergeant that the independence movement's ever needed or ever wanted. So the debate was a sham, but by did we no get to see what the Tories think of us, the Scottish people, and their representatives. So, also on Wednesday, the Welsh Parliament held its first debate on Welsh independence. The Welsh independence movement sitting at 36.6% and is rising. Another thing for Westminster to worry about. Another bit of pressure coming in for the Welsh Parliament this time. So we've got the possibility of a reunification of Northern Ireland. Scotland will be becoming independent in the very near future. And the Welsh are starting to have a look at it and think, aye, maybe we should go on our way as well. And interestingly, the English people are thinking about dumping the resties as well. Must be great to be a unionist in Scotland to find out that 49% of the people in England don't want you. Bad day Wednesday for unionists. Right. And finally for Wednesday, what a hoot, right? Dr. Julian Lewis is chucked out of the Tory party for standing against Bojo's selected candidate for the chair of the Security Committee. Dr. Lewis ran against Bojo's choice of failing Chris Grayling. The reason why Dr. Lewis stood against failing Chris Grayling, because he looked at him and thought, you're going to put this loony in charge of security. So he ran. He ran against him. Dr. Lewis won the chair of the Security Select Committee with the help of the SNP and Labour. Bojo is raging. And the first thing the committee's going to do, under the stewardship and under the chairmanship of Dr. Julian Lewis, has released the Russia report. That's going to be interesting when it comes out. Now, apparently some of the information's already out there, but it'll be interesting to see the report when it comes out. Okay, moving on to Thursday. The power grab story rolls on with Westminster and the propaganda machine announcing that Scotland will get a whole draft of new powers, 111 new powers after Brexit. Mike Russell, the Scottish Government's Minister for Constitution, goes on BBC Radio Scotland and schools the propagandist who poses as a presenter to what's really going on. Mike Russell points out there's no new powers coming to the Scottish Parliament whatsoever. None. And that it is a power grab, because the powers that they say that are coming to the Scottish Parliament already reside in the Scottish Parliament. It works within the framework of the EU single market. So there's no new powers going there. The powers already sit in the Scottish Parliament. He goes on to give a couple of examples of how these powers have been used. Things like state aid, as we've already spoke about, agriculture, food standards, all these sort of things, which are all set in the Scottish Parliament as it is, but will be snatched from the Scottish Parliament or will be overseen by Westminster through this quangle they're going to put in place to decide whether Scotland can place or Wales can actually enact a law in areas that they decide that are at the moment devolved. The EU doesn't really interfere with these things, but Westminster will. We'll get a wee bit more of that on the Friday. Yesterday, Sir Patrick Vallance, the UK government's chief scientific advisor, appears before the Science and Technology Committee at Westminster, and he didn't hold back. He handed out all the paperwork for all the SAGE committee meetings and made it quite clear that the information and advice that they were giving the UK government was different for the policies being enacted by the UK government. So Professor Vallance hits back, and it looks as if the gloves are off and him and Chris Whitty are going to get in about the government, which is good news, right? So, as I say, the chief scientific advisor to the UK government tells the Westminster Select Committee on Technologies and Sciences that the UK government isn't following the science. We all knew that. We all knew they hadn't been following the bloody science. But now, the chief scientific advisor, the one that's been stood there next to these Muppets on their daily briefs before they scrapped them, makes it clear to the public in England, because we already knew up here in Scotland, makes it clear to the public in England that they have not been following the science. So he get battered right into the Conservative, he get battered right into the government, the UK government, the Tory Westminster government, and that committee, and he made it bloody clear that they weren't following the science. Right, yesterday the National ran a piece on independence for England after the poll came out from Business for Scotland. It was an interesting piece, and as I said the other day there, this independence for England thing, we should be driving that. Our MPs should be doing their tea and getting tore into the Westminster government about it. They should be bringing it up at every opportunity. Oi, have you seen the poll? Have you seen the poll? It would appear that the people of England want rid of Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. Why don't you give the people of England a go? You know? So, it was an interesting piece, and it was a thought-provoking piece. And our MPs should be picking up on this sort of thing and sticking a lever into that crack when they're in the Westminster Parliament and busting that bottle right open, getting the genie out the bottle in England. Because let's face it, the people in England think they're subsidising us all. They think they'll be better off without us all. So let's exploit that situation to our benefit. Let's push independence for England. And our MPs down there should be pushing independence for England in the face of Bojo and his cronies in that parliament. Also Thursday, the unemployment figures came out. Did they make good reading? An extra 648,000 people on the dole since the COVID thing started. And we're not even at the end of furlough. When we get to the end of furlough, that's going to become millions. Throw Brexit into the equation, and that's going to be multiple millions. So the figures didn't look good. And the figures in Scotland, unemployment was up 38,000 here in Scotland. So per capita, we're doing no bad. Although they're trying to say we weren't. Because if there's 640,000 people out of jobs and only 36,000 of them are here in Scotland, then per capita, we're doing all right. But it's not a good number. It's no good at all. You know, we are facing mass unemployment, as I say. The Tories are deliberately wrecking the UK economy in order to protect their stashes and tax havens. And, of course, they've been shorting on the pound as the pound fluctuates and the markets go up and down. And, of course, they're all betting on the UK economy tanking when Brexit happens. What sort of government do you? I mean, what's wrong with the people of England? You elected somebody that's going to tank your economy deliberately so that they can make money and protect their money. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Also Thursday, talking about shorting on the pound takes a tanking against the euro. And there is it is predicted that after the end of the EU transition period, there will be a run on the pound. Now, money's already fleeing the UK at a rapid rate of knots. London is now a diminished financial centre, except for its dark web of tax havens, own crown dependencies offshore. So there's big trouble ahead, and London will be a really diminished financial centre at the end of this. Right. Also Thursday, UK government orders a halt to the use of the Randox COVID-19 test. Randox was awarded the £133 million contract to produce the test kits for England, Wales and Northern Ireland. Once again, without any procurement procedures in place, they were awarded this. Anyway, these tests are the sort of thing that gets posted to you for a home test, or the sort of thing that's been used in care homes. Anyway, they've been told to stop using them as of now. There's a problem with the tests. They don't say what the problem is, but they say there's a problem with the test. So that's another 133 million quid urinated up against the wall, if you like. All right. Also Thursday, it emerges that the Red Tory leader, Sir Keir Starmer, totally owned, bought and paid for, fully paid up member of the British establishment, does not support tax rises for the wealthy to help cover the cost of COVID-19. His office states that he'd prefer growth in the economy to tax increases. Well, there's not going to be any growth in the economy. None. There'll be no growth in the economy whatsoever. We've got the COVID disaster, and then we've got the Brexit disaster coming hard on its heels. Anyway, Starmer says he doesn't want to tax the rich anymore. Well, but that's what you get when you're a Tory. Tories don't raise taxes. And Starmer is a Tory. He's a Tory that's hijacked the Labour Party. The first Tory to hijack the Labour Party was Tony Blair, Margaret Thatcher's pet project. When Margaret Thatcher was asked what her greatest achievement was, she said Tony Blair. The Labour Party hasn't been the Labour Party or the party of the people for years. The Labour Party is just the Tory Party with a red ribbon tied around it. And the red Tory leader, Sir, get that in your head, Labour supporters, Sir Keir Starmer, fully bought and paid for and owned UK government rat, doesn't want to tax the rich, which means that because there's not going to be any growth in the economy, the poor are going to suffer for the mayor. Right then, moving on to Friday. Right. On Friday, the 17th this morning, arguments over the power grab goes on. The BBC get a professor of a law and human rights from the University of Durham to come on and give her opinion on whether it is a power grab or a power surge, as the BBC were putting it. The professor, Professor McCarg of Durham University, she waffled a lot. She waffled an awful lot. She then went on to explain that there's no new powers for the Scottish Parliament. These powers that they're talking about being new to the Scottish Parliament are actually being exercised by the Scottish Parliament, but under the European Union single market framework. She then goes on to explain that the documents that were put out on the new UK single market were a bit vague, but it would appear that under the new UK single market framework, there will be mere oversight from Westminster. So that was her waffling way of saying, aye, it's a power grab. So although the good professor was trying to be sort of level-handed about it, when you take what she had to say down and pile it down, what she actually said it was a power grab, and that under the new UK single market, there would be additional constraints placed on the devolved legislators, which don't exist at the moment. And when you translate that into ordinary language, it says, power grab! Right, Russia's back in the news this morning. It's claimed that the Russians are hacking the scientific researchers and scientific research to create a COVID vaccine. I'm sure if Russia just asked, people would say to them, "We want to take part in these trials." So I really don't get this, but it's a worldwide pandemic. And I'm sure there's scientists in Russia that would actually like to contribute to the effort this sort of putting up with borders like that when it comes to trying to cure this worldwide pandemic is rubbish. And this claim that they're trying to hack it and steal it because whoever gets the vaccine first will have control of the vaccine and control of the planet crap, it doesn't fly. You know, it's just mere propaganda to make people feel unsafe. Right, also on the news this morning, because remember, I'm only with what I hear in the transistor this morning for a Friday. Concerns over schools going back. I think we're a couple of weeks, three, four weeks away from schools going back. And of course, there's concerns about schools going back. Children will be allowed, won't have to observe social distancing in the schools. Teachers, dinner ladies, janitorial staff, that sort of thing will. So they had Larry Flanagan of the EIS Union on to express his opinion on social distancing for teachers and school staff and any anxieties that the teachers may have. Larry, to be fair to him, gave quite a good interview and said that they'll work within the constraints that are put on them, you know. Right, and also this morning, BBC tells the public that there are 23 COVID vaccines in clinical trials worldwide at the moment. There are two teams in the UK that have got vaccines in trial, one at Oxford and one at Cambridge. One at Oxford and one at Imperial College London, and they're looking for volunteers to take part in the trials. They also say there's 120 other programmes going on worldwide to find medicines that will cure, and no cure, but will aid in the treatment of COVID-19. As I say, there's 23 active vaccines actively in testing human trials at the moment, right? So they're asking for volunteers. Now, I know that the Oxford team have already been to Glasgow and have selected healthcare workers to take part in the trial because a friend of mine, David, his wife's a nurse and she's taking part in the trials. But funny enough, at the end of that wee snippet, there was no information on how to contact them to say you wanted to take part in the bloody trials. Don't know what the hell they were playing at. Right. And that, folks, is the review of the week. I hope you enjoyed the news stories that I decided to cover. Look after yourselves. Follow the guidelines. Mask when you're in shops. Hand sanitizer when you're out and about and can't get your hands washed. Remember your social distancing. Look after each other. If you're going to the pub, don't get pished, because being pished isn't good for social distancing. Look after each other. Stay alive. Have a nice weekend.
This is a new voice for a new Scotland.
In the light of radio.